Greetings. Today is Yom HaKippurim, and I prepared a message, and so I want to say Shabbat Shabbaton Shalom. I want to begin with a petition written in honor of this Day of Atonement. And here's the petition. Heavenly Father, Almighty Yahweh, we give you thanks for your Son, whom you have sent to show us the way of life. And it is to you, Yahshua, our High Priest and Master, that we petition for your continued blessing upon this assembly of believers, that we may carry forth the message of hope, the message of deliverance from the evil one, the message of eternal life in the bosom of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Israel, Abraham, Yitzhak, Jacob, Israel. We call you Pele for the life you've given to us, a miracle to us. Yoetz, our counselor, El, our strength, Gibor Abi, our head, and Sar Shalom, our prince of peace. We call this Day of Atonement that Yahweh has set apart a prophecy of the great cleansing after 10 days of trepidation following your return and the gathering of Israel. We pray to you in behalf of all those whom you have called out of Babylon and for those you will call to your side in eternity. And Father, reach out to the spiritually blind that they may see your love. Touch the hearts and minds of the spiritually deaf, that they may hear your truth. Raise up the lame, that they may walk the narrow path through the narrow gate that leads past the time of judgment into the time beyond time. And we pray today for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, the house of Judah, and to all who have not bowed the knee to Baal, who keep your commandments and have the faith of your Son, Yahshua, in hope that all whom you have called and chosen may one day come together as one in your hand. Help us, Father, to hold fast to your word, that we may fulfill the purpose for which we were chosen. In the name of Yahshua, the salvation of Yahweh, may it be so. Hallelujah. That's my petition. And I'm praying that Yahweh will hear it as we speak collectively. Today we fast so that we may understand Yahweh's mighty purpose in his discipline that he provides for those he loves. And the word discipline conveys at its root the idea of a disciple. A disciple is one who follows a teacher so that one day he may assume the role of teacher in order to generate or pass on the message once delivered, the evangel delivered by Yahshua to the saints gathered at Mount Sinai and manifested to the disciples at Pentecost through the gift of the Spirit of Yahweh. The message that I wish to deliver today is the message of the Day of Atonement. Today is the day we are to afflict our souls. Literally, this means we are to chasten the life that is within this fleshly creature we call ourselves. It is a day which Yahweh, through our high priest, Yahshua Messiah, has given to us to remind us of the work that he did for our salvation and to refresh the hope of redemption and the gathering of Israel prior to the entrance of the firstfruit into the kingdom of Yahweh, accompanied by those who had escaped the purge of the wicked at Yahshua's return. Now, I know that's a lot of information in just a few words, but let's go to the word of Yahweh to understand more. In Leviticus 23, verses 26 to 27, we read, "And Yahweh spoke to Moses, to Moshe, saying, Also, the 10th day of the 7th month shall be the Day of Atonement, Yom HaKippurim, meaning the Day of Atonements, or because of the pluralness of it, and it also can be mean the Great Atonement. I say great as a comparison to the atonement that Yahshua provided for the individual on Passover. Today's Day of Atonement is for the whole house of Israel, all 12 tribes. And it continues, it shall be a holy convocation, Mikrai Kodesh, for you. You shall afflict your souls. And the word afflict is the Hebrew word anach, meaning to look down upon self, abase self, deal harshly with, defile, force down, humble, hurt, ravish, submit self, and weaken. Afflict our souls. Soul is the Hebrew word nefesh, referencing our vitality, our body, heart, mind, our lust, our pleasure, and appetite. And it goes on. And offer an offering made by fire. And the word fire is the Hebrew word ishech, that is a fervent sacrificial gift to Yahweh. And these words were given to Moses for all 12 tribes of Israel by Yahweh through his mediator, Yahshua, Yahweh's Mashiach, which comes from the Hebrew word mashach, which means rubbed with oil. I remember people talking about how the word Christ just means rubbed with oil, but the word Mashiach comes from a word that means rubbed with oil, but it pertains to one who is consecrated by Yahweh, which is not in the word Christ. Consecrated by Yahweh, such as a king or a priest, of which Yahshua is both. Yahshua is the high priest of the order of Melchizedek, referred to as the Melchizedek in English, Melchizedek, which means king of righteousness, which he certainly is and will continue to be. 1 Timothy 2, verse 5 and 6, for there is one Elohim and one mediator between Yahweh and men, the man, Messiah, Yahshua, who gave himself a ransom for all to be tested in due time. Notice that he doesn't say there are three given to us. There's two. There's Yahweh and there's Yahshua. And there is no other Holy Spirit who is a personage. It is the Father and the Son, not the Trinity. The word atonement is Strong's number 3722, and it's the Hebrew word kafar, perhaps pronounced kapar, but kafar, meaning to cover. Figuratively, it means to expiate or condone, to placate or cancel. It is translated in the King James as appease, cleanse, disannul, forgive, be merciful, pacify, pardon, purge, and at the heart of the matter, I believe, to reconcile. Reconcile is a Greek composition, meaning to reaffirm our commitment to the Mighty One of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Israel. We'll talk a little bit more about the word reconcile shortly. But in Leviticus 23, 28 to 29, we read, and you shall do no work on that same day, for it is the Day of Atonement, to make atonement for you, speaking to Israel, before Yahweh your Elohim. For any person who is not afflicted in soul on that same day shall be cut off from his people. And verse 30 and 31, any person who does any work on that same day, that person I will destroy from among his people. You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute until Messiah comes. Is that what it says there? No. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. Forever is the Hebrew word olam. Olam, meaning until a concealed vanishing point. So this statute is good until everything vanishes, until the end of time, essentially. And verse 32 says, it shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest, a Shabbat Shabbaton, and you shall afflict your souls. On the ninth day of the month at evening, from evening to evening, you shall celebrate your Sabbath. And those words there are Tish Batu Shabbat Achen. Tish Batu Shabbat Achen. Celebrate your Sabbath. This is the day of affliction, which Yahweh has given to us for our salvation and our redemption. Two different things. We are saved when we believe in the Messiah. And we are redeemed when we obey Yahweh to the end. We fast so that we may understand his mighty purpose in his discipline of those he loves. Psalm 119, verses 66 to 70. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease. Not the nation grease, but grease as you grease your car. Their heart is as fat as grease. In other words, their character is the epitome of stupidity. That's what grease means. Epitome of stupidity. And then he says, writes, but I delight in your law. Picking it up in verse 71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. I won't ask you to go to it, but in Hebrews 5, verse 8, we see the reflection of this verse when it reads, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And if the Messiah learned obedience through his suffering, what can we do but the same thing? Verse 72, the law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. Thousands of gold. How much would that be worth today? Would you trade your life for gold and silver beyond which you could ever spend? No, because it means death. It means not living forever, to have that on your mind. We can't be redeemed if we serve mammon. We can't serve mammon and Yahweh at the same time. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. Your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Those who fear you will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in your word. In verse 75 of Psalm 119, I know, O Yahweh, that your judgments are right, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Let, I pray, your merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to your word, to your servant. Let your tender mercies come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. Now, who could deny that these words are Yahshua's? It's him speaking. And it's not known who the author of Psalm 119 is, but scholars believe it's either David or Daniel or I can't remember who else, but one of the prophets. Nevertheless, these were all men who suffered as Yahshua suffered and still remained faithful. How important was Yahweh's law to him, to Yahshua, and now to us? his instructions are for our physical and our eternal life. Psalm 94, verses 12 through 15. Blessed is the man whom you instruct, O Yahweh, and teach out of your law, that you may give him rest from the days of adversity, until the pit is dug for the wicked. For Yahweh will not cast off his people, nor will he forsake his inheritance, that is Israel. But judgment will return to righteousness, and all the upright in heart will follow it. And continuing in verse 16, who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless Yahweh had been my help, my soul would soon have settled in silence. If I say, my foot slips, your mercy, O Yahweh, will hold me up. In the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul. Knowing Yahweh and abiding in his law is relief from the days of adversity. A prophecy, I fully believe, of the end time scenario. Knowing Yahweh and abiding in his law is salvation. It is redemption. Now, Paul was taught out of the Torah. He was taught out of the prophets and the writings, the law from which comes judgment and mercy. 1 Corinthians 11, begin with verse 28. But a man must examine himself, and if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Master so that we will not be condemned along with the world. Today we gather together on this holy convocation, this Mikrai Kodesh, the Day of Atonement, fasting as a symbol of affliction, knowing the awesome destructive and redeeming power of Yahweh through Yahshua, that he is a just Elohim, issuing mercy to the righteous and condemnation to the unrighteous, and knowing that, quote, then, pointing to the fulfillment of this day, we shall know that his name is Yahweh. But we also know that here in this present time, Yahweh, through Yahshua, issues judgment to us, not for condemnation, but for guidance, as any good father would. Hebrews 12, 3 to 5. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, speaking of Yahshua, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. Continuing in verse 5, my son, do not despise the chastening of Yahweh, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom Elohim loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. That's out of Proverbs 3, verses 11 and 12. Continuing in Hebrews 12, verses 7 through 8. If you endure this sermon, if you endure chastening, Elohim deals with you as with sons, for what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. In other words, everyone is tested by Yahweh. Through Satan, those who remain faithful are tested their entire lives. At some point, Yahweh gives up testing those who detest him, for Satan has won them over. Those who endure the testing will receive eternal life, and those of a reprobate mind, as Romans 1:28 says, will be destroyed. And continuing in Hebrews 12:9 through 12, furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful, which we can attest to. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. And so, why are we chastened, that is, afflicted? To learn the law of Yahweh, and to learn what it means to obey our Heavenly Father, that we may enter into his household as his children. By keeping this day, we are acknowledging Yahweh's plan of salvation in obedience to his commandment to afflict our souls on this day. We desire to understand the nature of this set-apart day, its significance to our lives, and its place in Yahweh's plan of salvation. As I mentioned above, the word atonement means to cover, and figuratively, it means to forgive and to make reconciliation. Now, you've heard of William Tyndale, one of the people who translated the scripture out of Hebrew and Greek and Latin into English. While laboring to translate the Hebrew and Greek scriptures into English in 1526, he recognized that there was no English word to convey how Yahshua's sacrifice accomplished both the remission of sin and the reconciliation of mankind to Yahweh. There was no word that would say both of those things. Tyndale certainly recognized that Yahshua's personal atoning sacrifice, as symbolized in one or both of the two goats sacrificed on the Day of Atonement, figured into the atonement of the whole house of Israel. Tyndale therefore translated the Hebrew word kiparim as atonement to encompass both actions. He wanted to overcome the inherent limitations of the word reconciliation while incorporating the aspects of propitiation and forgiveness, which are the renowned works of Yahshua. Tyndale's proposed definition viewed the word atonement as its general meaning, forgiveness, but then he divided the word into two parts, at-one-ment, to include the idea of reconciliation. So the word reconciliation comes from Latin roots, re meaning again, con meaning with, and cela meaning seat. Reconciliation, therefore, literally and simply means to sit again with. In this way, atonement is not only about creating a new relationship, but restoring the original one. Reconciliation in and of itself does not contain the aspect of forgiveness in the light of affliction. A picture of reconciliation might be when a husband and a wife meet at home after a day's work. When they are both there, they are reconciled. That is, they may sit again with each other. One might read while the other writes a letter. So literally, they are gathered together. However, atonement paints a different picture. If a conflict came up, for example, and they were to sacrifice or give up their own desires of the mind and heart and worked together to resolve the issue, it is only then that we might say that they are truly reconciled. It is only then that they are ichad, or at one ment. They were afflicted and they reconciled to a state of forgiveness and mercy. Tyndale defined his word to connect the idea of affliction, forgiveness, and reconciliation, not just forgiveness. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 and 19. Now all things are of Yahweh, who has reconciled us to himself through Yahshua Messiah, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that Yahweh was in Messiah reconciling the word to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. And continuing on in chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, we then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of Yahweh in vain. Do not ruin the mercy being offered, is what he means. Verse 2, for he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Here, Paul is issuing a call to action for this ministry of reconciliation and atonement. Next, he describes the tribulations we are to expect in 2 Corinthians 6, verses 3 to 5. We give no offense in anything. Now, this may not sound like tribulation, but consider how often we say things that are intended, consciously or not, to hurt others. Judgments, threats, put-downs, guilt trips, sarcasm, blame, commands, demands, and even silence are all ways we intend to harm others. Then, try to go one day without uttering or even considering any of these epithets. Try that. See how well you do. Paul goes on, we give no offense in anything, that our ministry may not be blamed. But in all things, we commend ourselves as ministers of Elohim, ministers of the Father and the Son. In much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings. Then Paul describes how we are to overcome these afflictions in verses 6 and 7. By purity, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Spirit of Yahweh, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of Elohim, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. Finally, Paul sums up his message with a series of seemingly opposing concepts requiring contemplation, for they are of the nature described in 2 Peter 2, 3, verses 15 and 16, as he writes, as our beloved brother Paul has written to you, in which some things are hard to understand. Here is Paul's summary describing how we are to overcome affliction in 2 Corinthians 6, 8 to 10. That's how we are to do it. By honor and dishonor. By evil report and good report. As deceivers and yet true. As unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live, as chastened and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. How contradictory does that seem? But let me explain what Paul is saying here, and in this next one, the words in italics are mine. He writes, by honor, which of course is from Yahweh and Yahshua, and dishonor from Satan and his evildoers. We are to dishonor Satan and his evildoers. By evil report from the unrighteous, and good report from Yahweh, Yahshua, and brethren. As deceivers, as perceived by those who do not understand the truth, who say we're angermongers, warmongers. and yet true, according to the instructions of Yahweh and Yahshua. For Yahweh does say, you know, obey my law. And if you do, I will bless you. If you don't, I will curse you. These are his words. So we are we're not to we are to when Paul talks about deceivers, he's talking about by those who do not understand the truth, and yet true according to the instructions of Yahweh and Yahshua. Going back to the slide, as unknown to the unlearned, and yet well known by Yahshua. By Yahshua, Yahweh, and those of like mind, as dying at the hands of the wicked, and behold, we live in an eternal coexistence with the Father and the Son. I believe this is what Paul is trying to tell us, that we are to act accordingly to as the world presents itself to us. Yahweh's word clearly delineates the fact that there is to be a complete abasement of ourselves due to the awareness of our moral frailty, our flesh, and our sinfulness. In response to our genuine display of humility to Yahweh, he then provides a covering for us here in this life of trial and tribulation. His covering hides our weaknesses and our fallibilities. This Day of Atonement is the foreshadowing of the real Day of Atonement, when we, as children of Israel, having been given incorruptible bodies, when the Messiah returns, wherein there are no corruptible thoughts. Well, hallelujah to that. No corruptible feelings or corruptible actions. We are brought together through affliction for forgiveness and reconciliation. That is the day that this day, today, is preparing us for. If the Feast of Trumpets is the day in which Yahshua comes down from heaven riding a white horse, wearing a garment that has been baptized in blood, trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. That's not in Scripture, by the way. Not those words. Then the Day of Atonement must be a picture of being covered or hidden from such heavenly wrath. It is the final day of 10 days of death and destruction for the wicked, but it is also a day of deliverance and the gathering of the faithful followers of Yahshua the Messiah of Israel. Yahshua will be setting up his government. He will destroy the works of man's government and institute a regime that is ruled by the laws he once established here on earth through his father Yahweh. He will rule with an iron rod, and he will usher into his millennial reign those whom he covered with his blood. Through the 12 gates bearing the names of the 12 tribes of Israel, the foundation of which are Yahshua's 12 apostles. Until then, we wait, preparing for the prophesied days of tribulation prior to Yahshua's return, his redemption of Israel, his thousand-year reign, and the eighth day, before which he will judge all evil and cast the wicked into the lake of fire, to be consumed without opportunity for redemption. We will endure by immersing ourselves into the word of Yahweh, teaching the righteousness exemplified by Yahshua, and living daily in obedience to his will. We are imbued by Yahweh through Yahshua to be his sons and daughters in one family. We are instructed to honor his laws, which he has made known to us. He offers a covenant to us. If we will keep his commandments, he will guarantee eternal life for us, offering his son as proof for his love for and his commitment to us. At some point, many of us realize that we are sinners, we transgress the law of Yahweh, in that we have disobeyed Yahweh's commandments. Then we discover that the penalty for disobedience is eternal death, the righteous judgment decreed by our Heavenly Father through Yahshua the Messiah. Without atonement, which this day offers to us, which means also both the sacrifice of our will to do the Father's will and the gathering together, we are, if we do not have this atonement, we are disinherited. We are no longer under Yahweh's mercy and protection. However, it is out of His compassion, the compassion of a father for an only child, that Elohim makes known to us His plan of salvation. We are afforded the luxury of choosing a life of pleasure now or an eternal life in the household of the Creator. Which do you choose? Now. Hallelujah.